Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like for us to look at some things this afternoon about the good Jesus. What I mean by that is sometimes we get wrapped up so much in matters of the home, of societal movements, things politically related, having to do with the nation and all the things surrounding that, that we forget just what our religion is about, Jesus, and how that he is indeed the good shepherd. And how that the Lord has done so many good things, you see the essence of his goodness at the time of his crucifixion, and of course all throughout his life, but especially I would like for us to focus right now, because there's just so many things that Jesus did that were good, at the innocent and blessed nature that our Lord had in all the good things that he did at the time that he was suffering most. Do you realize that when they came to get Jesus, that is, Judas had betrayed him, and so the betrayer is coming, and everybody knows who that was, Judas Iscariot. Now his betrayer had given the people with him that were going to arrest Jesus a sign: whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Matthew 26 verse 48. What is amazing about this is that here he is betraying Jesus with a kiss. So much deception there, so much just pure evil. Remember, the devil entered into Judas. But when he goes up to Jesus, he says, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kisses him. It's the kiss of death, of course. But Jesus says to him, Matthew 26, verse 50, here's the first instance that I'm referring to: "Friend, why have you come?" One last chance for Judas. One final chance for him to realize what he's doing. But it's too late. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus. Jesus could have just struck him dead right then. Jesus could have indicated his frustration. What would you have felt? Utter betrayal at the loss of trust? But he says to him, "Friend, why have you come?" To what benefit was that statement? It was, of course, in fulfillment of Scripture: "Even mine own familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me." But also, even more than that, it was also a statement of Jesus' character. He never stopped being good, even to those who were doing the worst to him. Second example, look at what happened with the Apostle Peter. So remember, Peter had said, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." That's back in verse 32 and verse 33 of the same chapter. Now you go down further in Matthew 26, and you find that Peter is following at a distance, but even though he said he wouldn't be made to stumble or wouldn't be offended at Jesus, now he is denying Jesus all along the way. Denying him once, twice, three times. And then Jesus looks on him, and he sees him. He knows. He knows what he's done. And that look causes Peter to weep. And he runs forth and goes out to cry. And yet that very same betraying Peter, not a different kind of betrayal, of course, from Judas, but he betrayed what he had said to Jesus, that I would never be made to stumble. Jesus took into account the frail nature of Peter, took into account that it was a temporary failing, and that Peter needed time and space for repentance. So does Jesus look on him once again with anger? Does Jesus look on him with judgment? But instead, Jesus looks upon him with sadness. And Peter realizes what the Lord has told him. And the Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. Such a shame for Peter to behave that way, you say. Yes, it was a shame, but even more than that, how good is Jesus to give him chance after chance after chance? And in the book of John, you realize after Jesus is resurrected, right after the crucifixion, he comes to Peter and lets Peter know, "You need to get back to work for me. It's not over, Peter. You've got another chance." Would that Judas had given himself another chance, but he let the devil enter into him. Peter, instead, took advantage of that and became the most prolific apostle unto the Jews that of all of them, of all the disciples. So then they crucified Jesus. Now, as you read about the crucifixion of Jesus in the latter part of Matthew 26 going into Matthew chapter 27, it's interesting to me that the statement about them crucifying Jesus in chapter 27 and verse 35, dividing his garments and did all those things to fulfill scripture there, that Jesus not only was not particularly holding it against any of the officers that were there more than anyone else, but as you read later on in Acts chapter 2, every one of those who were there at the crucifixion, well, they aren't singled out for anything different as far as judgment goes from those who weren't there at the crucifixion. There were Jews on the day of Pentecost there from all over the place. And God says, unto them whom you have crucified. Now, how many of them were there when Jesus was crucified? How many of them were crying out for his death? How many of them actually were putting the nails in? And yet, the Lord offers forgiveness unto all, including them. Every one of them. Amazing, isn't it? Now do you understand the depth of Jesus' statement there on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But Jesus understood the extent of his offer of salvation. How good of a man does it take to be that way, to live in selfless sacrifice? Many times we become angry and demand judgment for wrongs done to our family. We sue one another in this society, don't we? We do all kinds of things that show our vindictive nature. Jesus had none of it. Oh, he was angry at sin. But every single person who sinned, he looked beyond the sin and saw the soul behind it and allowed them to receive forgiveness. That's what amazes me. And then Jesus never stopped being good, no matter what he was feeling. So you got Jesus there on the cross. As you read the other accounts too, at the end of Mark and Luke and John, you got Jesus there on the cross. And as he is looking out, there's his mother, Mary. And there's the disciple whom he loved, John. And Jesus realizes, I'm leaving this old earth. And before he goes, racked with the pain of having the crown of thorns platted upon his head, of being beaten so severely across the back by those brutal Roman soldiers, of being crucified with the nails going through the hands and the feet, and hanging there, struggling for every breath. And what does he do? Feel sorry for himself like we so often do? No, not Jesus. He looks down out into the crowd, sees his mama, and says, Woman, behold thy son. Looks over at the disciple whom he loves, John, and said, Behold thy mother. And the Bible says that he took Mary to his house to take care of her that very day. Jesus was, as the elder brother, arranging for the care of his mother when he passed. How can that be on his mind when he's got all that going on? It's because he never stopped being good. Ladies and gentlemen, our religion is about Jesus Christ. It's about the goodness of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ. And if you can look beyond the day-to-day frustrations that we experience on this earth and realize that you really haven't gone through anything like Jesus did, bearing the sins of all the earth, being that constant positive example to every single soul, and always being good. It ought to let you think and realize, I can hold out, I can struggle through and be faithful because my Lord was faithful. He'll help me, and he'll never give up on me because he's just that good. Think about it. And if we can help you to learn more about the good Jesus who has sacrificed himself for you and given himself so that you might serve him forever, then why don't you come see us at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ? We'd love to study the Bible with you, and just keep on tuning in to this afternoon radio program and also on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. as we have a 30-minute lesson during the weekend time. Thank you for listening this afternoon.